All right, we can continue our study in John. This morning we'll be looking at chapter 5, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 5. 1 John 5, 1 through 5. And the title of the message this morning is Born of God. And John uses this phrase multiple times in 1 John. The first time he says it is in chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of God. So those who practice righteousness are born of God. Chapter 3, verse 9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. He cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. So God's people, those born of God, do not make a practice of sinning. Chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So those born of God know God, and they make a practice of loving one another. And then we come to the chapter today, chapter 5. There's two times he mentions those born of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, verse 1, has been born of God. And again in verse 4, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. So at this time, let's go ahead and read chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So what does it mean to be born of God? Another way of saying that is to be born again. Regeneration, this is the process of regeneration. And from that, re is again. And gene is birth, is to beget. So it's a rebirth, regeneration. So what does it mean to be born again? You often think of Billy Graham, a lot of his sermons. Have you been born again? What does it mean to be born again? It's a process of forsaking the old life and taking on a new life, starting over. Born anew into God's family. The first step in this regeneration is admitting your need for a Savior. My own personal testimony, I was a young boy, and I remember I had lied. And I went to bed. I just couldn't sleep. I just tossed and turned. I knew I had committed this sin. And even deeper into my thinking, I was like, well, what if I died tonight? You know, what is my future? If I died tonight, where would I end up? So there's this fear of my eternal destination. And I finally couldn't take it anymore. I got up and I went downstairs and I told Mom and Dad I had sinned and that I'm in need of a Savior. So they led me to the Lord that night, and that was the beginning of my journey. There was something in my life that was empty. I knew I was in need of a Savior. I was a sinner. Selfish, lonely, with no hope. So the first part is to repent. We repent and we're broken before God. By faith, we come to the foot of the cross, empty with nothing to give. In the line in Rock of Ages, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Our burdens are lifted up, and that emptiness that we had in our life is now filled with joy, is filled with peace. We have a storybook. It's the John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress for our kids. And in that book, there was a little poster of Christian, and it's when he's before the cross. And it's a picture of his burdens were broke loose and the pack was, I guess, rolling off the hill behind him. And he's looking up, hands lifted to the cross and light shining down on him. And Christian had a new song, and this is the song that he sang. I came to the cross with the burdens of sin, for none could remove all the guilt held within. What a wonderful day I've been covered by grace, for the King sent his Son to die in my place. At the cross I am free, here my burdens released, here my shame has been thrown in a bottomless sea. And then Christian's old clothes were exchanged for new clothes, heavenly garments. He was cloaked in righteousness. And I told the kids I had another, it's not a goldfish this morning, but I've got something to show them. Got a rock here, just an ugly, old, boring rock. This is us before we come to know God. Nothing beautiful about it. And when we come to the foot of the cross, we have to be broken. And when we are broken, something starts to happen in our lives. We're broken. Y'all see that? There's probably 1,000 little crystals in there. I don't know if y'all can, kids can see that. But when we are broken, God comes into our lives and transforms us into something very beautiful. And that works from the inside out. You know, this rock isn't very beautiful on the outside, but with Christ, we become very beautiful. We become new creatures in Christ. That's what regeneration looks like. And I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John. Christ speaks with this, and this is the case of Nicodemus, John chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 6. What does it mean to be born again? Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, but no one can do the signs you say unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Those who are born of flesh die. And you know, we will die. Our flesh will die. Give us, you know, we might live to 70. If we're lucky, we might live to be 100. But those born of the Spirit will never die. And that is the only life that we can live eternally is through Christ. That second birth that we are given through the Spirit. So I want to touch on this idea of that kind of the way Nicodemus's mind was going of rebirth, going back into the womb and being born again as a human being. And I want to think of our rebirth kind of in that light, that we're a new baby that's born. And what do we have that's new? We have new eyes, we have a new mouth, we have a new feet, new hands, and we have a new heart. And I want to touch on each one of those in our rebirth and becoming new creatures for Christ. New eyes. So if we have new eyes, we honor God with our eyes. We don't look at things that are impure. We use our eyes to read His Word, His truth. But we also see things differently. We start seeing good in people instead of negative things. You know, I have to think of Saul's conversion when Ananias, you know, you touched him with his hands and scales fell off his eyes. I like to believe that those scales were the old eyes that were shedding off And with his new eyes, he was able to see Christians as new creatures. And instead of persecuting them, he fought for them. So our scales are falling off when we're with our new eyes and we see the world differently. We see people differently. We treat people differently. We're also given a new mouth. 1 Peter 3:10, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Psalms 141:3, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. With our new mouth, we encourage brothers and sisters in Christ. We lift them up. We also proclaim God's goodness and share it with others, that they too may share in this new salvation, this new gift that we've been given. We're given new feet. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We walk the straight and narrow path and steer clear of the road that leads to destruction. We're given new hands, and it might be the hands that was once clenched up to God is now open and serving other people. We become the hands and feet of Jesus. And we're given a new heart. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. With a new heart comes new desires. A desire to serve God and live to His standards. One of the results of being born of God is loving His children. Verses 1 and 2. Go back to John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of Him. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this you know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. We love the children of God because they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. If somebody came up to you and said, I love you, brother, I care for you, but your children, not so much. They're, you know, a little loud on Sunday. I don't care for your children too much. You're all right, but I don't care for your children. Would you feel a sincere love from that person? How does God feel when you say that about one of His children? There's a love and a unity that we share with God's children because we are all one family. If we claim to love God, we love His commandments, verse 3. But it says His commandments are not burdensome. Because the love of God is in the new believer, a change has taken place. Now they not only obey His commandments, but they have a desire to obey His commandments. When we're born again, we love what we once hated and hate what we once loved. The commandments we ran away from, we now embrace and live by. Living by the word of God brings joy and freedom to our lives. John 8:34, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." If you are a slave to sin, then sin is your master. If we live a life according to God's word, we are not free from sinning, but we are freed from the bondage of that sin. You know, the idea that one has to submit to the commandments is off-putting to the world. Christianity looks like some type of buzzkill. You know, as soon as I become a Christian, all the fun stops. Or, you know, I don't want anybody telling me how to live my life. Christianity is nothing but a bunch of rules and regulations on the life that I want to live. But yet these same people are willing to live by their boss's standard. They want to please their boss. Ultimately, they want to take a paycheck home. They're also okay with living by the judicial rules set up by society to avoid going to jail. But when it comes to obeying God's word, they're not interested. But we as Christians love the law of the Lord because we love the Lord and we want to please him. Psalms 19, starting at verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than the drippings of the honeycomb." In Psalms 119:97, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." Verse 4, as new creatures in Christ, as born of God, we are overcomers. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. This word victory here comes from the Greek word Nike. And we all know Nike to be shoes. So their slogan is, "I guess you will be victorious if you wear their shoes in sports." It never worked out for me, but that's the concept of the word, victory. The military even has what they call victory missiles named. Back in the 50s, there was a squadron of missiles called victory missiles. But how are we victorious? It says here, by our faith. Our faith in what? Our faith in our possessions? Our faith in our money? You can even put your faith in your own faith. But it's only the faith in Jesus that counts. Faith in Christ is saving faith. And that's the faith that has overcome the world. Verse 5, "We have overcome the world by our belief in Christ Jesus." John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Despite what the world throws at you, the battle has already been won. As children of God, we get to live life knowing that at the end, in Armageddon, wherever the end of this world is, the battle's already been won. The victory's in the Lord. So we can live a life knowing that. We can live in freedom knowing that the battle has been won. Sure, we'll go through hardships, we'll go through hard times, we'll go through suffering, and that's expected. But the victory's been won. And I take a lot of joy and hope in that thought. Through the power of Christ, we have overcome the world. So in review, who is born of God? Those who believe Jesus is the Christ. What is a manifestation of that? We love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We love our brothers and sisters. We love and obey his commandments, verse 3. And because we love his commandments, they are not burdensome to us. Because we are born of God and are his children, we have overcome the world. And we look back in chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And how have we overcome the world? Our faith. Our faith in what? Verse 5, our faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Are you born of God? Have you experienced a change in your life? Do you love his commandments? Not only do you obey his commandments, but do you love his commandments? There's a difference there. If so, do you uphold them? Do you cherish them? Have you been born of flesh, or have you been born of the Spirit? If you're born of the flesh, you will die and be no more, and you will die eternally. If you're born of the Spirit, you will live forevermore. In closing, I'd like to read 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his mercies, he has caused us to be born again in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Since you have been born again, not of imperishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Let's have a song.